This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
A new generation of sports radio.
This is the Tony D Show. This is our countdown to kickoff featuring the Minnesota Vikings. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New Jersey, here's Tony Desiri.
It's Tony D here on SB Nation Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us. All right, the Minnesota Vikings, a team that is again on the preview. We're doing these previews every single day, a team a day all the way to the end of the preseason and the end of the offseason and into the regular season. And I always look for different angles to do these previews. For example, if I get a team and we break down the quarterbacks, we break down the offensive lines, and we break down all sorts of things, I'm a big picture guy. I look at it more as a big picture thing. And when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, one of the things that I'm asking is, this is a team that went 11-5 last year, all right? They have a quarterback that they like in Teddy Bridgewater. He did struggle in year number two. They have a running back in Adrian Peterson. They have a good head coach in Mike Zimmer. 11-5, they make the playoffs. They lose to Seattle in the postseason on a missed field goal. Now, we know how hard it is to make the playoffs. We know how difficult it is to make the playoffs. Has the Minnesota Vikings, have they crossed the line? Have they crossed that line where fans go, all right, we get it. Sometimes it's hard to make the playoffs. Sometimes you go 9-7. The ball doesn't bounce your way. But you know what? You are not going 5-11. You are not going 6-10. You know that line? Because there's all these expectations with some of these teams where if everything blew up around it, then you could say, all right, I will accept a bad year. But I need to know that this 11-5 was real. That this 11-5 was legit. I think it is. When you look at the way their season went down last year, they lost their opening game on a Monday night at San Francisco. That's their only bad loss. Their other bad losses, a 3-point loss at Denver, who went on to be the Super Bowl champs. They lost to Green Bay, a legitimate Super Bowl team. They lost to Seattle, another legitimate Super Bowl team. And Arizona, another legitimate Super Bowl team. Those were their only losses outside the San Francisco loss to open up the season. Everything else, if they should have beat them, they did beat them. To me, that's crossing over. To me, that's crossing over. How far over, we're going to dive into more and more. Teddy Bridgewater had a great rookie year. Second year, not so good. Can he bounce back in year number three? There are some things to like, but there are things to be cautious about when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're led well. I think Mike Zimmer is a very good coach. But when you go 11-5, that you have to determine as a fan base whether or not, okay, we have now crossed over where I expect playoffs every single year now. You have given me a season where there are so many things that I check off on my list. Do we have a good quarterback? Do we have a superstar on offense with the weapon? Do we have young players that we can enjoy watching? Yes, yes, yes. All right, defensively, are we solid? Yes. All right, now, do we have a head coach that's smart enough to put this all together, fix things that are wrong, repair things that are damaged, and get us to the playoffs? Yes. All right, then don't go 6-10. Don't go 5-11. Have the Minnesota Vikings crossed over? We'll continue to break that down. I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys quarterback situation again. Yesterday, we told you that with Tony Romo being out over the weekend, that Dak Prescott has now taken over and is at least the starter for now. The Denver Broncos had a 3-quarterback race. Trevor Siemian, the backup, Paxton Lynch, the rookie, and Mark Sanchez, the veteran who has at least 2 AFC championship appearances and a couple of wins under his belt. And yet Mark Sanchez could not secure the job. News today that the Denver Broncos are actively shipping Mark Sanchez. Surprise, surprise. Who are they shipping Mark Sanchez to or would like to ship Mark Sanchez to? The Dallas Cowboys. Now for the Cowboys, the price tag is too high. But if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I say no matter what the price tag is. Here's why. Mark Sanchez couldn't win the job in Denver over 2 guys that still need a little bit of polishing, still need a little bit of experience. And in Denver, that's really what they're looking for at the quarterback position. Hey, keep this honest. Keep it going. You don't have to do anything great, and just don't do anything awful. And Mark Sanchez couldn't secure that job as a veteran in this league. If I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, what would I rather have leading my team? I've got a rookie that is lighting up preseason. And even though I can look back and say it's preseason, I've got a rookie that I'm actually hopeful for. Everybody is coming out of these games. Players on the team, media members, personnel, coaches, all saying all these wonderful things about Dak Prescott. If that's going to fall apart in the regular season, when the defenses get tougher, the playbook gets more complex, you got to play a lot longer, you kind of have stamina at the end of the game. If all of those factors in the regular season lead to Dak Prescott's fall, well, at least I'm willing to go on the journey. If you're going to take this team and lose games because the quarterback is inexperienced, I'd rather go on that journey of the unknown than get some sort of with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. When Mark Sanchez went to Denver, and I spent 10 years in Denver, I have a lot of media friends in Denver. I asked, all right, what's it like? What's the conversation? How are people reacting to this? They know they have a really good defense. They know they don't need a superstar. So here comes Sanchez, and his resume is bad, but it's also got some pretty good stuff on it. Everybody said the same thing. Well, at least our defense is good. There was no genuine optimism that, hey, Gary Kubiak and Mark Sanchez could formulate something kind of cool. Nothing along those lines. As a matter of fact, it was really sort of very cautious, down emotion. Do I want that if I'm a Cowboys fan? I already went through a year of that. I couldn't get a combination of three backup quarterbacks to win more than one game while Tony Romo was out. One game. I'm not going through it again. Look, if you're going to lose games, let me lose with somebody that gives me hope. Let me lose with somebody that fills me with excitement right now. That feeling of, hey, you know what? I don't know what this kid's going to do. He could be awesome. He could struggle. I don't know. Let's just go for the ride and see where this ends up. Because I kind of know where Mark Sanchez is going to end up. I want to be pleasantly surprised. I don't want to have expectations that are not going to be met. I got a team with a great offensive line. I got a team with a running back that's going to carry the load. I've got a wide receiver in Dez Bryant that's a superstar in this league. I need a quarterback that I can be excited about. I need a quarterback that I can go to bed at night going, hey, you know what? At least it might be fun. If I'm not going to get Tony Romo, at least give me the future. Don't give me some retread veteran that couldn't secure a job where the expectation of the quarterback position was low. Realize how low it was in Denver for the quarterback? They're not asking for five touchdowns a game, for crying out loud. They're not some sort of high-powered offense that needs a quarterback that can keep... No. They're looking... And I'm not going to use game manager. That's not where this is going. But they don't need Peyton Manning again. They need somebody that can do the things in the position, sure. They need somebody that can move the offense, of course. But they absolutely do not need a situation where Mark Sanchez is just going to be like the other veterans that came in. So if I'm the Cowboys and the Denver Broncos come in and said, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to offer Mark Sanchez to you. Oh, bottom basement price. I'd still say no because I can't sell it. And I know I have to sell it. I just gave up a season. Yeah, I got Ezekiel Elliott out of the deal in the draft. I gave up a season because we couldn't secure that position. Of all the people in the league, of all the quarterbacks in the league, we couldn't find one that could win games. Just win a couple of games. My God, they weren't asking for somebody to go 6-1 for the first seven, but could you go 3-3? Could you beat teams on paper we're supposed to beat? Nope, no one could do it. And Mark Sanchez is not going to be any different. From Denver, I turn this down immediately. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. We got that. I do want to get into the Colin Kaepernick stuff a little bit more. There's some angles I want to take that are a little different. All right, we can break down whether or not he has the right to do this and whether people should be mad to do this. I think that's kind of been pushed aside. I think there's a narrative and I think there's a conversation that is occurring with Colin Kaepernick that I think people are missing. And I'll get to that coming up. Also, Matt Venzel will join us from the Minnesota Star Tribune on the Vikings, and I'll ask him the very question about the Vikings that I asked at the top of the show. The big picture here. Break down all the situations offensively, defensively. We'll do that because that's what we do in our countdown to kickoff preview. But I want to know big picture. after an 11-5 season, where the losses came to very good football teams, outside of San Francisco. That was a dud to start the season. Has the expectations in Minnesota been, you know what? We're heading forward. No more 6-10s. You better not go 5-11. Too good to do that. If you do that, we're not going to take an 11-5 year and all of a sudden think that that was just lucky or we caught some breaks. We've crossed over. We're a legit playoff team coming in, and we should be a legit playoff team going forward. We'll have that throughout the show today. I am Tony D. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiri.
All right, Matt Vensel will join us, Minnesota Star Tribune on the Vikings in our countdown to kickoff preview. We're only a couple away from finishing this up next week. 32 teams, 32 shows. By the way, Adam Sager, who produces this show, he puts together the days and the teams. So before all this started, and I think we launched it July 25th, so before this started, he took all the teams and he sort of put them together. And I told him, I said, just make it as random as you can. Let's not do a division, like a whole division. So he put them together randomly, and we put them on our Facebook show's Facebook page so you can find out which day we're doing the team. And you can go back in the podcast arena and find the shows that we previewed your team. But I bet he did not know that he did develop a small pattern going back from last week and into the first two previews of this week. When we left you last week, the team that we broke down on Friday was the Arizona Cardinals. We also, this week, opened up with the Miami Dolphins. And now the Minnesota Vikings. Now, there is a small common thread that may be, I don't know, cool to me, given that there's a particular conference that I like. But the Arizona Cardinals, the Miami Dolphins, and the Minnesota Vikings all took the three best Ole Miss players in the draft that were coming out of the Rebel program. Robert Kimdiche went to Arizona. Laramie Tunsil went to Miami. And Laquan Treadwell went to Minnesota. So, Adam, take a bow. You had a little bit of a nice little run there. I bet you didn't even know you did that, but you did that.
No, I didn't realize it, but that's cool.
Hey, there you go. I try to find patterns in things. I'm not to get like all Rain Man on you or anything like that, but I find patterns in certain things. Drives my wife crazy, by the way. You know what else drives my wife crazy? When I'm watching a movie, especially a timely movie, a movie like set in the 1980s or something, I will notice things in the movie that are inconsistent with the time period.
Right, yes.
Or I'll notice things that are inconsistent. And she gets really, really upset when I point those things out. She hates that. When I'll say like, you know, in 1987, they didn't have this. Or in 1987, that company that you see in the background, that didn't exist. That's a relatively new. She hates it. Oh, she hates that. So I do it anyway because it's neat to just sort of get her riled up at these movies. Sometimes she'll just poke me at the movie theater like, stop. And I'll be like, nah, keep going. All right. A lot of conversation on the – I know it's crazy. A lot of conversation on the Colin Kaepernick stuff. And look, that's going to be dissected for the next couple of days because everybody wants to have a voice in this. People want to jump up and down and talk about whether or not free speech, offensive speech, how this works, Colin Kaepernick's message, the method. I did that yesterday, right? Going forward – I don't know where this story is heading. The more he does it, the more conversation is going to occur. The more you guys will probably get sick of hearing about it. Because the more consistent that he is in this act, I think it will die down a little bit, but the conversation will always kind of be raised. I look at it this way, and this is kind of the one angle I think the main media is missing. Because there's two types of media the way I see news. When I see sports news get filtered through news agencies like CNN, Fox, MSNBC, NBC, whatever, when I see sports news get filtered in those lenses, I always wonder if they miss things and miss the larger picture. It's like what I was saying about my wife when I point out inconsistencies at the movie. I do that because I see those kind of things. I see things that don't fit. So when I see sports news that makes itself to regular news, there are things in the sports world that you and I know, that you and I take for granted, that doesn't get filtered properly when news anchors and news talking heads take our story and run with it. All right? We're going to get to Tim Tebow, for example, who's had his Major League Scout Day or his tryouts in front of scouts today. OK, Okay, when it got filtered to news, it was taken a lot differently than when we took it in sports. Colin Kaepernick, in the way, is getting the same kind of treatment. A lot of conversation is about, all right, Colin Kaepernick did not stand for the national anthem, and he's offended a lot of people, and he's made it a problem for the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to become a distraction, and the 49ers may release him. When it gets filtered out of sports into news, there is an angle that the news people take that say, well, maybe, and conspiracy theories, you know, abound, maybe Kaepernick did this because he is looking for the discrimination angle when he is released by the 49ers. Knows he's going to get cut, and now he's got this to stand on. We know in sports, and we know in the NFL, that's not a leg to stand on. That he doesn't have a case. That in the NFL collective bargaining agreement, he can be released. And he can be released for any reason whatsoever. He can be released because he's a distraction. He can be released because he's not a good football player anymore. He can be released because he costs too much money. There is no reason the 49ers have to even give for the release of Colin Kaepernick. They don't even have to tell him why. They just can. That's the way it goes. That's why in this league, it is you have to be very careful when you take any stance. And I don't care what stance it is. If you're very public, you have to be careful because you can get released for a variety of reasons, and one of them could be that. If you're a distraction to the football team, you can be let go. The Patriots do it all the time. That's why they don't have distractions. Look how quickly, when Aaron Hernandez got arrested, look how quickly the Patriots cut him loose. They didn't even wait to find out if he was guilty. They knew immediately, something's wrong. We have a problem. Bye. There are some teams that fight and fight to keep players. They're afraid to release players. They don't want to release players. They're worried that that player will catch on somewhere else and they'll look bad because he's got his act together and he'll fix everything. Instead of taking the stance of, you know what, we're an organization. If you do great over at that organization, good for you. But here, you didn't work out well and we don't want you around. Goodbye. With Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers, maybe Chip Kelly, maybe the brass upstairs, who knows, may look at this situation and say, you know what, we still believe in his quarterbacking ability, and in the end, it doesn't bother us if he stands or doesn't stand. We don't have a policy for or against it. He's going to stay on, distraction be damned. We're going to keep rolling along. But Kaepernick using this as a discrimination angle, when I hear that from the news media, it makes me think they're not doing their homework. They're not researching this. This isn't like a regular workplace where sometimes you can use that in a court of law as an justified firing. That's not the case in the NFL. You can come to work every single day, try hard every single day, not be a distraction. You can be cut because you make too much money. So again, when you look at the way this story gets filtered out of sports, you and me, we understand. We've seen it happen. You can. I don't care what team you root for in the NFL. I guaranteed I don't have to go back that far to find a player that has been released because he's too much money and he's not producing anymore. Colin Kaepernick right now is losing the starting job to Blaine Gabbert. He's not only losing the starting job. At one time in camp, he had a tired arm, which I don't know, is something you kind of have to have, I guess, working properly to be an NFL quarterback. I don't know. They tell me that. You throw those in and the fact that he's carrying a lot of weight on the financial books. I don't care if he stands for the national anthem or not. Those are three good reasons why I might consider releasing him anyway, even if he kept his mouth shut and didn't say anything and stood up for the anthem and didn't make any waves whatsoever. So again, watching these stories develop, watching them go through the talking heads on the Fox News and the CNN and all that stuff, watch how often they misinterpret the way it really is, not only in the NFL, but in sports. You'll be astonished how much you know and how much not only their researchers and their producers don't. It's fascinating. Coming up, Minnesota Vikings. Are they now a legit playoff team going forward? Matt Bensel will join us next. Minnesota Star Tribune, SB Nation Radio. Come on!
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiri.
All right, the Minnesota Vikings went 11-5 last season. They lose to Seattle in the postseason on a missed field goal. Yet they did go 11-5, and have they crossed over now into a legit playoff team going forward? Not just this year, but going forward. Are the pieces in place that lock them in? I am Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio. It's our countdown to kickoff segment. We preview a team a day all the way to the start of the season. We've got the rest of this week and then two more teams next week, and then we'll do a complete wrap-up of the previews and then get into the start of the season with the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. Look, there's so many things to like about Minnesota if Teddy Bridgewater kind of bounces back. He had a good rookie season and then kind of struggled a little bit. But again, when you're talking about going on the road and winning games in the NFL with a second-year quarterback, yeah, they did that. And sure, they beat teams that they should have beaten. You know, the Lions were having a down year, the Bears, whatnot, Oakland at the time, Atlanta. But they went out and beat teams that they were supposed to, and four of their losses were teams that you would consider Super Bowl perennial favorites going into this year and including last year. And losses to Arizona, Seattle, the Denver Broncos, the Green Bay Packers. I mean, these were the elite teams in the league. Their only loss on Monday night against San Francisco sort of throttled them back a little bit. But I like Mike Zimmer as a coach. Adrian Peterson's getting a year older, but still can be effective. Laquon Treadwell as a rookie wide receiver might do some good things, may need to grow a little bit in the role. But there are some things about Minnesota that are on the up and up. The problem is that when you're looking long-term in the NFL, or not really long-term, because long-term in the NFL is probably like 3 to 4 years, right? We know things can change really, really quickly. I mean, you can go from a Super Bowl team, you lose a player to retirement, or you lose a player in free agency, and all of a sudden you're back to struggling again. But overall, the idea that every year I go into the season with this guy, this team, this coach, however, and they're the teams I got to watch out for. Those are the teams I got to pay attention to. You know, every year we talk about the same teams, right? The last couple of years, it's been New England. It was Denver. It was Indianapolis. In the AFC alone. In the NFC, it was Green Bay. It was Seattle, right? So are the Minnesota Vikings in that category? Maybe not Super Bowl level, but in that category. And that's kind of what I'd like to dissect. Because, you know, we do these previews. Again, it's cool to get into the nuances of how the offensive line is going to look, how the running game is going to be, how the quarterback is progressing and, you know, third year in Bridgewater's case, or looking for that quarterback in the case of the Broncos, or how is a backup going to do in terms of the Cowboys. But in this case, there is a new stadium coming. There is a lot of feeling that, okay, we've got the pieces, we've built the right team. And now we're putting this into position. So again, Micah Wenzel is set to join us from Minnesota Star Tribune to talk more about the Vikings. And because I will say this, the division outside of Green Bay seems like it's more winnable. The Bears should be a little bit better. I think the Lions take a step back. But I mean, when you're talking about that division, it's all right. Are we as good as Green Bay? Are we near Green Bay? Can we make a run with the Packers? If they're healthy and we're healthy, where do we stand? Do we have to count on other teams getting injured? Last year seemed to be a real breakthrough. They went 7-9 the year before. You go from 7-9 to 11-5. I think your fan base is saying, I think you've turned the corner now. All the things that you've been telling us over the years, I think you're finally turning the corner. I mean, they had the problem with Adrian Peterson, right? Sitting out a year and wanting to get traded, and then he was back and he was okay and he was fine. I mean, it has been a kind of not a mess, but at the same time, a lot of question marks. Does 11-5 answer all those things? Or does 11-5 mean, yeah, we took it one game at a time, to use the proverbial cliche, and we ended up with these wins? I don't know what that means going forward, but in that particular weekend, on that particular Sunday, on that particular hour, we were able to find matchups that worked well for us. But can it be duplicated? Is this now a consistent 10-6 team? Is this now a consistent 9-7, 10-6, 11-5 team that consistently makes runs for the playoffs? Or do they go back to being 6-10 or 7-9? We'll find out. I was talking earlier about Colin Kaepernick. And we were talking about how the media sort of misconstrued how the NFL works. I think this is one of the reasons why, when you talk about a team like Minnesota, this is one of the reasons you have to be really careful about future predictions on teams. Because how the teams go about sorting out their own cap is how rosters are dismantled. The 49ers, for example, can take Colin Kaepernick and they can let him go for football reasons. They can let him go for a distraction reason. They can let him go for economic reasons. They can let him go for all three. In the NFL, that's the reality. You sign Mike Trout in baseball to a 10-year deal, unless you want to find a way to unload him after year seven, that's the guy you're going to have on your team. You've locked a player in for a while, and he's going to be playing. Either two things are going to happen under a 10-year deal, or three things are going to happen. He's either going to fill out the 10-year deal, you're either going to trade him and pick up some of the cost because he's not productive anymore, or you're going to release him, he's going to sit on a porch, and you're still going to pay him out the rest of that 10-year deal. In the NFL, it works the exact opposite. You sign a guy to a deal, what do we talk about all the time with contracts? All right, there's the guaranteed money, and then this is what it's going to cost against the cap. But the length of a deal? Oh, please, we don't even pay attention to that anymore. I don't even care when a guy says he signed a six-year deal. 6 years is nothing. It can be done after two. It can be done after three. You'll complete the six and re-sign. But you know a couple of things with those long-term deals. They always get restructured. So when somebody looks at Colin Kaepernick and say, oh, he's setting himself up for a lawsuit. What lawsuit? The collective bargaining agreement doesn't allow for this. You can be a complete mess. You can be a distraction, but if you're productive, you're around. If Colin Kaepernick was a legit superstar, think about the difference of conversation we would be having with him. If there was no question he was going to, none, that he was not only was he going to be the Niners starting quarterback, but he was a star that had the Niners as one of the perennial favorites to win the Super Bowl. And he did this. The conversation, I think, would be a lot different. If he was on the level of Drew Brees or Brady or, take anybody else in the league that has security, that has a team, Aaron Rodgers, you would see the narrative of the Colin Kaepernick story be a lot different. Because right now, there seems to be more focus on him and his current economic situation. Costs too much money, doesn't play very well, kind of a burden to his team. He's got supporters in the locker room, yes, but in the end, it's going to be football and economics. But if he was a legit starter, then it would be, oh, okay, what are the Niners going to do with this? How is he going to perform in the year? And if he wins games, will people in San Francisco actually care about this? How long will the I'm a Patriot, this offends me? How long will it last in the community if he starts out 7-0? And if those seven games he never stands for the national anthem, and yet the Niners are rolling along, how long does that last? To be honest with you, I think that's an actually better conversation than what we have now. Because Kaepernick could go away rather quickly. Kaepernick could be out of the league and then disappear. But if you really wanted to have a real conversation about this, I wish it happened a couple of years ago when he was a star. I'd like to know where this emerged from. I'd like to know what today makes him do this. He's been in the league a while. It's not like he's a rookie. I mean, we've talked about Colin Kaepernick being there was a time where he was a star in the league. The Niners went to a Super Bowl. They could have won that Super Bowl. And not only that, he was playing against Seattle in the NFC Championship game before a late interception sent the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. I mean, there was a time where it didn't look like he was going to go anywhere in terms of being a star, that he was going to be legit and stick around a while. But now instead, we've got something kind of different, which is, what is this guy still trying to do? He's hanging on. He's got a lot of these things pulling at him, and all of a sudden, he's now in the news for this reason. So I look at things, I try to look at things with larger lenses. It's the way I've always been. But I do know one thing. In the NFL, most decisions are football and economic based. That the league is big enough and most teams are big enough that they can get rid of distractions. They'll figure it out. But if you really can perform, they'll put up with it. Some teams will put up with it. Now, the Patriots, I think, have always been different. Now, I don't care if you can produce there. They'll just move along. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907, the number. I am Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio. We'll get more into the Dallas Cowboys situation and also the baseball story today. I know people will love that one. It's Tony D on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
right, thanks for joining us. Minnesota Vikings last year went 11-5. They lost in that playoff game to Seattle on a missed field goal. 2016's version? Well, let's check it out. Matt Bensel joins us, Minnesota Star Tribune, on the Vikings. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. All right, so I kind of was looking at the Minnesota Vikings big picture here. In Teddy Bridgewater's first year, they go 7-9. Then last year, they go 11-5. And in four of those losses were to legit Super Bowl contending teams. Have they crossed over now where the fan base says, all right, this is kind of the expectation now. You've built something great. I expect 10-6. I expect competition towards the postseason. But you better not go 6-10 again. Have they crossed over to that point?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is different from the last time they made the playoffs, which was 2012, where Adrian Peterson just kind of lugged them to the playoffs, and then they fell back to mediocrity. I think, you know, with Mike Zimmer being hired in 2014 and Rick Spielman kind of finding his stride here with so many good young players that they've brought in, you know, it looks like they have the ability to stick around. And you mentioned Teddy Bridgewater, the fact that they at least have a pretty good quarterback. You know, we'll see ultimately what his ceiling is, but I know at least he's an above-average NFL quarterback. You know, that brings stability as well. So I think with him, they still have Adrian Peterson, and with this defense, the expectation is that they'll be a playoff contender again this year. And, you know, with so many young players, you kind of assume that they're all going to take a step forward. That doesn't necessarily work out that way, but, you know, the assumption is they'll be a better team even if their record isn't better.
How would you grade Bridgewater in year two? Because a lot of people said, well, that excitement in his rookie year late did not necessarily translate over into year two. How did you view his play?
Yeah, I'd say he's probably a B at best. You know, you didn't see the obvious leap forward that I think everybody wanted to see, whether it was in his play or just statistically speaking. You know, he was inconsistent in big games. I mean, when they beat the Packers and won the division, I think he only threw for about 100 yards. But that being said, he was doing what they were, you know, asked them to do. You know, no team threw fewer passes than they did. And no quarterback was pressured more frequently than he was, according to Pro Football Focus. So those two factors, the fact that he didn't pass a lot, and then when he did, he was usually on the run, you know, that kind of kept everyone from seeing obvious signs. But he's got great pocket poise, great decision-making. You know, even the fact that he was always under duress, he was able, for the most part, to avoid big mistakes. And, you know, I think if they can get better play out of the offensive line this year, which is still their biggest question mark, you know, he's poised to take a big step forward because, you know, we've seen improvement in his deep ball accuracy and things like that that have been flaws in his game. And he's had a pretty good preseason, too.
All right, when you have this passing offense with Minnesota, Adrian Peterson is still a star, and I know age kind of knocks a few pegs down on your productivity. How productive is Adrian Peterson? How important is he on this offense?
Until we see him take a step back in terms of his play, you know, I'm not counting on it. I mean, he's 31 years old, which usually signals a drop off for most players, but I'm not 100% sure this guy is a human being. He's a freak of nature, and you know, last year he led the league in rushing by far, and you know, that was with him often getting hit in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage because the line didn't play well. So you know, they still have big plans for Adrian. They wouldn't be paying him $12-13 million this year if they didn't. I do think we'll see more Jerick McKinnon sprinkled in to maybe lighten his load a little bit. And I'm curious to see how Adrian adapts to the shotgun, which is something they want to do more of. But still, this is Adrian Peterson. He was a first-team All-Pro last year. And, you know, I think until you see him take that drop-off, you just kind of have to assume it's going to be same old Adrian this year.
Matt Bensel again, Minnesota Star Tribune on the Vikings in our Countdown to Kickoff preview. All right, give me an idea on the defense. Mike Zimmer, what does he have there on the defensive side for Minnesota?
They're an interesting group. I mean, I think they're poised to be a top five defense if everything breaks right. But it is interesting because they don't really have a true superstar unless you count Harrison Smith, who's a pretty darn good safety. Certainly is a star, but you know, they have just a lot of good players, and they don't quite have any superstars yet because, you know, guys like Anthony Barr could potentially become that. But they're just so deep. They're strong all across the ball. They're bringing back all their starters and key backups from last year. They added Mackenzie Alexander in the second round. They brought in Emmanuel Lamour. So this is a deep group. Tons of speed, tons of size, and they have the perfect guys that Mike Zimmer wants to run his schemes, particularly his double A gap looks on third down. So this is a good group. They may only have one guy who gets double digit sacks this year unless Danielle Hunter takes a step forward, and that guy would be Everson Griffin. But, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to see them rank top 10 and, or top five in sacks, because they could have seven or eight guys who have at least three sacks.
Matt, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for helping us preview the Vikings. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Matt Venzel, again, Minnesota Star Tribune on the Vikings. I like what he said about Adrian Peterson, because that seems like when you get to be 30, that's always like that Rubicon line, right? You cross that as a running back, and now we're starting to wait. We're just waiting for the inevitable. Father time starts ticking. He might be right about Adrian Peterson. All of that seems to apply to a ton of other running backs in this league. Peterson might be different, and that, yeah, I think taking a year off too, I think helps tremendously. One year of no wear and tear and all of that, I think it helps tremendously. But he might be built different in that, yeah, he can continue to be productive much later than other running backs in the league. But this is still a throw down field offense. I mean, this is what they want to do now. And I think Peterson in the backfield is a great weapon to have, but I think their bread and butter is going to be throwing it downfield. I'm really curious about Laquon Treadwell from Ole Miss. I'm really curious about what his impact is going to be, if he has one in his rookie year. He may take time to grow or whatnot. But I think there's so many things to like about the Vikings. And yeah, apparently, like he said, you see teams make the playoffs and then they go right back to mediocrity. The Vikings were mediocre 2 years ago in Bridgewater's first year, 7-9. 11-5. Are they now over that hump? And now, hey, I expect a playoff push every single year. I don't want to wake up and find myself back to 6-10. I think the Vikings have crossed it. Coming up next, the hot take of the day, SB Nation Radio.